Hello, everybody. I am Johnny Christ, and this is Drinks with Johnny. Thank you for checking out the podcast, and thank you to the first responders and those that are out there getting this, the things that we need in this time. Thank you guys so much for risking everything to make sure that life goes on as seamless as possible. I know you guys are out there risking your lives, so I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for that, and I hope the rest of you are all staying healthy, safe, and sane. For some of you that needed some entertainment this weekend, I'm sure you all checked out a little bit of WrestleMania 36. I know I did. It was a blast. It was something to see some live entertainment for the first time in a while. And, you know, there's some great wrestling matches. It was a little odd to see without the crowd. I get it. But I was really happy to get able to see something like this, as well as, you know, just kind of keep up with this WrestleMania theme. I've had a lot of professional wrestlers on the show as of late, and this week is no exception. I'm joined today by Darby Allin and Priscilla Kelly, both professional wrestlers who are married together, and we had a blast. We actually filmed this kind of back, I don't know, a couple months ago. Anyways, we had a great time hanging out with one another. These guys were super cool. They brought out their brothers and friends, actually Darby's brothers and friends, and we played a little game with some crazy consequences. And this was all Darby's idea, by the way. we had a great chat. And you know what? We're going to go live, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, Tuesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, on the YouTube channel. So you're going to want to head over there, go to the Drinks with Johnny YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button and the notifications button so you don't miss it. I'm going to go live with Darby and Priscilla, talk about the episode that we filmed a month or so ago, catch up on what they've been doing in the meantime, and set up for the trivia game and penalties that we filmed, in addition to the chat that we had. And that is going to be pretty wild. We're going to watch it for the first time together since we filmed it. I haven't watched it back. I've had my director, Brandon Lombardo, put it all together, and I haven't seen it. Darby hasn't seen it. Priscilla hasn't seen it. We're all going to go live together and do a little group chat on the comments for Premiere following right after a catch-up chat that we're going to have on Tuesday. So you're not going to want to miss that. Make sure you follow and subscribe to Drinks with Johnny so you don't miss any of that. It's going to be placed under the Hangover episode. So if you missed the live, just go ahead and head over to the Hangover episode. You'll check out this. I mean, Darby brought his brothers and some other friends, and these guys are into some fun and crazy shit. I'll say it gets a little wild, it gets a little fun. It's something you're definitely gonna want to see, and don't miss any of the shots episodes too. I mean, we put everything down into smaller clips, so you're able to send it off to your friends and spread the word. So, and that's kind of what we're doing here. Just spread the word. I'm having a good time with it. I hope I'm entertaining you guys. This is a nice little side project from my life in a Veggie Sevenfold. I'm having fun meeting, talking, getting to know people a little bit better. Maybe some that I've already been friends with before. In the meantime, I hope you guys are being entertained. And if you are, make sure you please just subscribe and follow. That's the easiest, freest way to support the show, and it means a lot to me. So go ahead and listen to Darby Allin and Priscilla Kelly on Drinks with Johnny. It was a super rad hang, very fun, insightful into their lives. They're a couple of young upcomers that I just see a super bright future for. They're doing some really cool shit, so make sure you listen here and then go check out everything else about Priscilla Kelly, Darby Allin. They're great people. And again, they got a lot of things coming for you. So without further ado, I bring you Drinks with Johnny with Darby Allin and Priscilla Kelly.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Johnny Christ here, and it is Drinks with Johnny. I am here with Priscilla Kelly and Darby Allin of All Elite Wrestling. How you guys doing today?
Oh, lovely. This whole week has been insane.
So I know you guys didn't come out here all the way to California just to do my fucking show. What are you guys doing out here?
Kind of, actually.
Oh, yeah?
We're filming some shit in Arizona, some skating and stuff like that. And then talked about doing this, and we're like, oh, that's only 5 hours away. We can make this whole vacation. So we've been in Los Angeles doing a bunch of whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay. So a couple of things that I was looking at before. I know a little bit more about you, Darby. Don't know much about you, Priscilla, other than there was... did you guys actually meet on TLC? Because both of you have TLC stories that were separate, but...
No, that's the thing. No, we didn't meet on TLC. It's a funny thing, though. Like, oh, you used to be on TLC? And she's like, you used to be on TLC? I was like, yeah, but it's just totally different thing.
Well, yours was, correct me, what it was, Gypsy Wedding or something?
Yeah.
What was the show called?
It originally started as a British show, but they brought it to America, so it's Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. It's such a freaking mouthful for a show. But I didn't get married. I got on at 14, had like this big extravagant birthday party.
Well, I hope you weren't getting married at 14.
but they tried to say I was. They were trying to say that I was looking for a husband and made this big, elaborate story that wasn't even true. It was just supposed to be a birthday party, but yeah. I mean, TV, you know. But anyways, I got a big hot pink dress out of it, and now everyone knows me as the gypsy girl that was on TV.
Well, I think they know you for more than that now on AEW stuff. Yeah. So. And then Darby, yours was even funnier though, because I heard that it wasn't even true, but you made up this story about banging some older lady and like getting
some grandma in the desert.
Yeah. What made you think of doing this first of all?
So I was broke as hell, like living in Arizona, like going to film school and stuff like that. And I like emailed them making up some whack ass story because they said they'd pay you $500 to like do it. And I was like, oh dude, I gotta do that. So you gotta like send in like a legit doctor's note. Mm-hmm. So I forged that. Like Dr. Eddie or something.
Dr. Eddie?
But,
legitimate guy.
Yeah, little Gary, yeah. But, and they just flew me out there. And at the time, like, that, I was like, so, this is awesome. You know, and I met the girl. I was like, oh shit, I don't have an old lady to come on the show with me. So I went on Craigslist and I found some aspiring actress in Los Angeles. And I met her and I was like, yo, you want to be on this show? And she's like, sure. And then she did it too. And,
yes. I watched a little bit of it on YouTube, and I was like, the actor lady, I knew the story before, I was like, she actually did all right.
She did. We met in a coffee shop probably like 10 minutes before we shot it. And it was funny because as we were shooting it, a bee actually got in the studio and stung one of the cameramen. Like,
You're talking about getting the bee sting.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my God, what the fuck, man?
Did you do a lot of that kind of stuff through film school? Like you mentioned you're in film school and everything. Like,
yeah,
like,
I filmed a lot of shit for Ridiculousness. You know, I think everybody knows that show. Because I was friends with the producer, so they would just like message me like, you want to film some crazy stuff and give you a check, you know? So you've been to Seattle, yeah?
Oh yeah, I love Seattle.
You know that big gum wall in Seattle?
Yeah.
So I licked the whole entire thing and ate the side off of it.
Oh.
And then like I did that for that.
That sounds
I got
terrible.
Tested. I don't have herpes, I think.
How long ago were you tested, though?
Shit. Right after I did it. Like, you know, I was just like, the next day after I licked and ate the wall, everyone started messaging me. And they'd be like, messaging me like, yo, there's like rats that piss on that. And there's hobos that have sex on it.
Wait, hobos have sex on the side of the wall?
And that's what I heard.
But, did you know any of this before you married him?
Yeah. So when we like first started dating, the first thing he did when he came to visit me at my house was like, here, look at my laptop, all this crazy shit I did. And it was just like that, these weird like movies he would make. And
what
just,
were these movies? Describe one of these movies for me.
I don't know. Like, so I didn't know any of his friends or anything at the time. And it would just, I'd just see like, I mean, I saw like half of his friends butt naked before I even met them.
I showed her the video of my friend. He's actually here today.
Okay.
He was blindfolded and naked in my backyard wearing a tuggy, a sock dick. And
I'm glad you said, because I was just going to ask what the fuck a tuggy was.
And then we collected a ring of neighborhood's dogs, and collected all their shit and put it in the backyard, and we'd have all the neighborhood kids in Seattle come watch this. And then he fought a chick in the ring of dog shit for money, blindfolded. And he quit. He lost that fight because he got in his mouth.
Then, that's the only way he lost, because it was in his mouth.
Yeah. So he forfeited that fight.
So that's amazing.
We're thinking about bringing it back, but...
So you're straight edge too. So none of these ideas are coming from your head from like being drunk. A lot of times it would make more sense if you're drunk.
Yeah.
Like, hey, go get in the shit, man.
I don't know. That's why people think I'm like really, sketchy, but devious.
Devious.
It's like, oh, this guy, he's not even like drinking and he's so barbaric. But I don't know, it's fun.
What was the reason behind you not drinking or drugs or anything like that? Not that everyone needs to do that, but I mean, just curious.
There's a lot of things that go into it, but like a majority is just seeing like maybe like close friends or some stuff just like falling down like weird paths, and like they use that as like an excuse if they didn't get to where they want in life. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I didn't make it here because of the alcohol or the drugs or what have you, you know. And all that, just like that type of stuff. And I just didn't want to blame anything if I failed in life, if you know how you say it.
That's a good way to go. Yeah. Look at
but
it. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because like all my friends are just like, they love to party. But I love to like sit in the corner and be like, what can they do to...
Yeah, you're the one, you're moving the chess pieces, as they say, while you're back in there.
Yes.
Another thing I heard about you, Brazil, it's probably the only thing that I heard about you, is your... awesome move in the ring to put a tampon in another girl's face.
Oh, yeah. Well, it went in her mouth, actually.
Correction, mouth.
Yeah, correction, in her mouth, not just on the face. But, yeah, so, like, after I did it, everyone thought that I, you know, oh, she did this because she knew it would blow up, blah, blah, blah. But, so I had the idea for this spot for, like, years before I did it.
And what this was in wrestling, and what promotion were you with?
This was at Suburban Fight. It's a little show out in LA. There's no ring. You're just fighting around a bar.
Whoa, okay.
It's 21 and up. And but I had the idea for like a couple years, and I was in a no ring show. You got to get creative. And I was wrestling a girl named Tuna. Huh. So I was like, this seems like...
I wonder how they came up with that name.
I was like, the prophecy needs to be fulfilled here. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of these shows not knowing if it's going to be filmed or if it's even going to see the light of day. And I was just doing it because I was like, this will be crazy, this will be wild, and tuna. You know, it goes together, like peanut butter and jelly. So I did it, and come like a week later, the entire internet just blows up. And I mean, it was pretty hard on me for like a good week. And then
TMZ,
huh? Yeah, like TMZ like caught wind of it.
It was hard on you. You didn't like all that attention? That wasn't what you were going for?
Well,
or?
I don't mean like it was hard on me personally. I just mean like the internet was trying to be hard on me.
Gotcha.
And then I had a few people that kind of started speaking up, like Tommy Dreamer from ECW back in the day and stuff was just like, you know, Priscilla Kelly, you know, she said something like, yeah, she's just entertainment and she's hardcore. And then after that, people started jumping on that and being like, oh yeah. So it was a big divided thing on the internet for like a good while.
See, like where I have a problem with it is half these people talking shit. They love all these like rated R Hollywood movies where like say the guy gets his dick cut off, 21 Jump Street or whatever, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then the thing is, that's all this is. You know what I mean?
Like, it's entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the thing is, like they like this obscure, like these obscure movies, but when it happens in the confine of a wrestling, it's like, oh, you're killing the business. I'm like, dude, like shut the hell up. Like,
wrestling's not as expressive as film and music. Mm-hmm. Wrestling's a lot more of
closed-minded
and, you know, old school and respect and all this stuff. And
well, you guys are trying to change all that though now. Yeah. It seems really cool. Like when I watch All Elite and everything like that, and your promos are awesome. The Flame Floor one was just recently. Where was that filmed at?
My backyard.
That's your backyard?
Yeah. Yeah, we got all this land, so we like to get a little crazy back there.
Where did you get the Flame Floor?
Some friend of mine. Yeah, it looks like it was made out of a fucking scuba tank or something.
Yeah, man.
I was scared using it because I thought like it was going to blow up on my back. Because I had this horrible experience like when I was younger with my brother. We were in the backyard pouring like... Fucking gasoline on a baked potato, and we wanted to sit on fire and play hot potato.
Cause that's what you do on a Saturday.
No, yeah. But it was like 4 a.m, and then I was pouring it, and then we started lighting the potato on fire, and then the flame went up in the gas tank while I was holding it in my hand, and it blew up in my hand, and like dislocated the fuck out of my fingers, and it blew his leg up, and the whole fucking side of his leg The skin's gone. And you
is he okay now, though?
Yeah, yeah.
He's over there.
Yeah, he's over there. But the thing is, his skin was gone, and you can see the muscle. Like, it was like 4 a.m, like I was saying. So then, like, my parents are like, "What the fuck was that?" Because the sound of it exploding. And then we're just like, I remember me and him. We just like went and like put the blanket on us, act like we were sleeping.
Yeah.
But he's like, "I can't fake sleeping. My skin's off." Like, so it's like he's like, "Yo, I'm fucked. We gotta go to the hospital." So yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen when I was playing with the flamethrower just a couple weeks ago when I was filming this promo. I was like, dude, I hope this thing, I don't want to fucking.
So we touched about it a little bit, but how did you guys really meet? Like, when was the first time you met? You said one of the first times was the laptop with a bunch of naked friends and shit.
Yeah.
When was it that you guys actually like met and then formed a romantic relationship and get married ultimately?
I think the first time, I saw him, I was at this show up in like New York, and I at the time was just trying to get on the show. So I'm just doing like merch and ringing the bell and just doing little things to try to get on. And then I saw him come out and get his ass kicked in this match. But I thought he looked cool. So my home promotion, I told the promoter of my home show is my trainer. So I told him, I was like, "Hey, there's this guy and he looks really cool and interesting. You should see if he wants to come do our show or whatever." So he came down, did the show, and then I just came up to him on the show, and he had no idea who I was, and I was just like, "Hey, I'm the one that got you on the show." And he's like, "Okay."
No, thank you.
Yeah. So after that, we both were signed to the same company. The show that I was ringing the bell for, I ended up getting signed to that company, and we would be on these like 30-hour van rides up to New York all the time together, and never spoke, never really talked, and one time we played a game of trivia in the back seat where the loser had to take chocolate protein powder, mix it with tuna, and eat it.
Ooh, that does not sound appetizing.
Yeah. Thank God I lost.
Yeah. But then one night we both had free time in New York, and I was going to go to Times Square, and she asked me, "Hey, I've never been to Times Square. Can I jump on the train with you?"
He did not want me to.
And I was like, "No."
He hated me.
But then I was just like, she was like, "Nah, like, you know." I was like, "I just didn't want to, like, you know, date a girl in wrestling because you can't."
Okay.
Didn't want to date you. I just wanted to see Times Square.
All right, I know. But the thing is, it's like, what do you say? Like,
sounds like this was off to a great start.
don't dip your pen in the company ink or whatever say.
Don't shit where you eat. You know.
Yeah, and I was just afraid that, you know what I mean. Like, but the thing is, like.
Eat where you shit.
And then we were like on this subway. Yeah. We were on the subway and then like we started talking. I was like, "Oh, this girl's like completely opposite as I thought she'd be." So,
cool lady.
And then about 2 weeks after that, I was like homeless living in Atlanta where she's from. Mm. And I was like I'd live in this parking garage and shit. And then I'd always be like, "Hey, you want to like come to the GBH concert?" She's like, "Yeah, like, that'd be cool." And then we started like hanging out and it blossomed.
Okay, so it sounds like it was a love of music, of the same kind of music. What kind of music do you guys listen to? What's like your whole vibe on that?
It's like a mix. So I mean, I think more than anything, we just liked going to like concerts where we can just like jump around and act like fools and not be judged for it.
Okay. So my genre of music.
Yeah. But what's funny is, so the first time we actually went on a road trip, just me and him, we did the drive to New York just in his car, and I guess you could say he was still trying to impress me at this stage. So he goes, "Let's stop at Buffalo Wild Wings real quick." And he's like,
"Impressive, Buffalo Wild Wings."
No, the story.
He really wanted to go to Hooters.
The story gets impressive okay. for him.
So we didn't go here to eat. We went here because he wanted to get a side of the what is it, the blazing sauce, whatever the hottest sauce okay. they make. So he gets the sauce. We go out to the car, pulls down his pants, and wipes his bare asshole with this hot sauce. Mind you, we have a 15-hour drive to New York ahead of us. And nowhere to stop and shower.
What the? Why?
Because I don't know. I just thought it'd be fun to impress her.
That would impress her?
Yeah.
So was he right?
Like, yeah, I'm sitting.
I mean, it was interesting, and I was.
You liked it. I had to drive, and I was just like.
Yeah, he had to sit on his ass with that hot sauce in there.
That doesn't sound very fun at all.
Yeah. I was like, damn. Hope this girl likes me.
So that was our first road trip together.
I mean, that's a great move. I haven't heard anyone pull that move off.
Yeah, yeah. Just try to like blast like some Bruce Springsteen on the car ride and
fucking. Why didn't you just eat the hot sauce too, though? I mean, it,
I.
Why does it got to be on the asshole?
I don't know, because every. I don't know. I figure everybody eats it, not with their ass.
I didn't ask him to do this, by the way. He was just like, hey, I just want to do this thing.
Okay, if that's
come here, like, come to the trunk real quick. I'm going to wipe my ass.
So this is how you are trying to impress your now wife. I got to ask, how did you propose then?
All right, fun story. But like,
well, it was actually kind of normal.
It was to a degree.
Well, sir, he proposed 4 months after dating me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Apparently, his parents made a bet, like, not long after we were dating, like, 2 weeks after we were dating, and his mom and dad, I guess, were like, she's going to marry this girl or something.
She's
like
going to marry...
He's going to marry this girl.
I'm not a chick.
He might be.
Oh, okay.
But, yes. So it was I came to Seattle to meet his family, mm-hmm. and I had no idea, and he was, obviously, but I came to Seattle, my first time there, blah, blah, and he got us like a really nice hotel room right on the water. And I'm just thinking, oh, you know, he just wants to show me a nice time in Seattle. And we go to eat and come back and the whole room's done in like all these candles and all these rose petals. And it's really beautiful. And I'm just like, oh, he wants to have like a nice romantic night. Okay. So I start giving him hugs and I'm like, oh, this is so pretty. And he's like, I don't want to be awkward, but there's a gift on the bed. And I'm like,
by the way, spot on impression.
And I'm like, okay. So I go and I open it, and it was a little like canvas about this big, and it was a photo painted of me, painted in his own blood.
Whoa.
That says, PK, will you marry me?
But it was like her face in my blood and like the PK.
It was really good drawing. I should have brought
PK, it. Yeah, we should have. PK, will you marry me? And she thought I was joking or something.
Yeah, I did. I asked him, I was like, is this a joke? Because we were only dating 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, is this a joke? And he's always pulling pranks. So I was like, is this a joke? Because this is kind of not cool if it is. And he's like, no. And he shows me the little ring. And then he dropped the ring while he was trying to give it to me. But he dropped the ring. And then he's like, if you want to say no, you don't have to say yes. I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot and make you feel awkward. And I'm like,
well, now you're putting me on the spot, making me feel awkward.
So, I mean, I don't know. I said, yeah. I don't know why, but I did.
Yeah, the wedding was tight, though. We were supposed to have the Murder Junkies play and stuff at the wedding.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That would have been cool.
That would have been very
like,
cool.
Dino, the drummer, is actually...
an ordained minister.
He's an ordained minister. And
I didn't realize that.
He's like, I can wed you guys naked if you want.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think my fucking parents want to see you dig on.
Oh, God.
Channel,
at least you had enough sense to think about your parents at that moment.
Yeah, but like that fell through. But the wedding was still like really entertaining and stuff like that.
Where'd you guys get married at?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
There's this like little historical building called like Nova 535. It was so pretty. It was all just done in brick, super industrial.
Big wedding, small wedding. How many people did you guys have in attendance?
I mean, it was small, but I mean, like, the atmosphere, we tried to go all out with everything, but as far as people-wise, it was super intimate, super small. I had a jet black Cinderella dress just covered in rhinestones, so that was like...
That's pretty awesome.
That was the highlight of my wedding, was my big dress.
As it should be for any bride.
That wedding was awesome.
Yeah.
You guys had a good time?
Yeah.
We were going to have Fear Factor at the wedding. That's what he wanted, but...
They wouldn't let me play. It's like, yo, you know, you can't be bringing all this weird ass, like, dead shit in this place.
What were you planning to bring?
I don't know. I was going to St. Petersburg, like, and, like, finding a bunch of weird, like, place, like, food. And, you know, we were going to pepper spray her father at the wedding and stuff like that. Like, you know.
Would he have been happy about that?
He wanted to.
My dad's an idiot.
It was kind of his idea.
Yeah.
That's a rad dad, though. I mean, he's like, on the day of my daughter's wedding, please, pepper spray my eyes.
That, I don't know. My dad's, like, always been into, like, weird stuff. I remember when I was a kid, and, like, my dad would be, like, tasing himself in, like, the dick and stuff. Like, I would see this.
Hey, daughter.
See, now we've gone around, like, 10 minutes on this now. Now it's starting to make more sense why you're attracted to Darby.
He reminds me of my dad.
Hey, daughter, look at this.
Dad was always into weird stuff. But
so you guys have been married for how long now?
Shit.
A year and some change.
Yeah. Year and some change?
Yeah.
And year and like 75 cents.
And you guys travel together while you're doing the AEW stuff? You guys always traveling together?
So like when I come on AEW, like we'll usually travel together. And you know, have a nice little time. And sometimes,
what's that show like for you guys? Are you enjoying it? Is that, because it's still fairly new that it went to TNT and everything.
Dude, like that's awesome! Holy shit! Like, I can't express how much creative freedom I got. You know, like, because like I'm such a, like I said, went to film school and all this stuff, and to like kind of like here, take the ball, and it's up to you to like do whatever you need to do, as opposed to being like hand it like what they give you, you know what I mean? Like,
it's very different from like, cause like I did the Mae Young Classic for WWE a couple years ago. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I had a great time and I thought it was an amazing atmosphere. However, it's so night and day just doing that and then doing AEW, how things work and how the vibe is, it's completely different. And it's, AEW is very laid back. Everyone is super cool. Like, and it's just, you can breathe, I think. And you chill in the locker room.
It definitely
room.
Looks like everyone's having fun creating their own shit on there, too.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, breath of fresh air to see in the wrestling world again. Because, as you know, like, everyone knows, you always see the WWE stuff that's, like, also PG. It's all, like, kid stuff now.
Yeah.
Like, when I grew up, my favorite era was the Attitude Era. And the, you know, the WCW, WWF Monday Night Wars. Those were some of the best wrestling. Just because the storylines were so much better, and that's like something I think is rad.
And that's like the fun part is like, us as the performers have as much input in our storylines, say, as like the people making them. Like, what do you want to do, as opposed to like what we want you to do? And that's like the best part about it.
And how is it like the travel when you're working? Do they do a lot of house shows?
No, they don't do any house shows.
Any house shows? So you're just doing once a week?
Yeah, once a week. Like,
okay, cool.
Tuesday, fly out, wrestle Wednesday, and then fly back.
He's really got the best schedule, like, imaginable.
Yeah.
Because, like, so
you just fly in everywhere? There's not a lot of road stuff at all?
No, he just flies straight there.
Yeah, there's no road.
So I do both. So I'm still an independent wrestler, and I kind of stick my hand in all the cookie jars because I'm not contracted right now. So, you know, I'll go to other countries and stuff. Like I just did London and Germany for a month, and I've done like 3 tours of Japan and stuff like that. So like, it's a very different thing because like I'll do AEW sometimes, but my weekends are like I'll be in 5 states within 4 days.
Okay, so you're
and it's like
heavy
insane.
Traveling.
Yeah. Granted, I don't really drive unless it's like from the airport to the building area. It would be like, you know, maybe an hour or two at the most. But sometimes just doing all that truck, because I mean, I'll go from Atlanta to LA to Texas to Minneapolis to LA and then back to Atlanta all
on
the weekend.
Are you ever just tagging along for that?
No.
Now that you guys are married? No.
No. Yeah, no. But the thing is, we take vacations like this. Mm-hmm. All the time. Like,
I'll just
fly her. We flew her to Arizona.
Well, we did a show, like, right before TV started. We did a show in Arizona where we would take this, like, small booking, but, like, have them fly us out a week early and then just let us stay. And we would just stay with, like, friends or his aunts or something. And we would just make a little vacation out of, you know, getting a booking somewhere.
That's cool.
So we used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you consider the Jericho cruise that you guys were just on? Was that a vacation as well, or was that?
Yeah, no, that was interesting. That was good. That was fun. I didn't. It's like I'm kind of antisocial, so like, you know. So I was just kind of like, oh, this might be a little overwhelming at times, but no, it was really fun, and it was just like I definitely do it again.
You know? Yeah,
it felt like a vacation, and that was our first cruise.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was a fun experience for both of you guys. Like, I mean, you're around. I haven't done any of these cruises. They have cruises for, keep it down over there, asshole. That's our producer, whatever. So yeah, what was I talking about? Oh, the cruise.
Yeah.
They have like these music cruises, and some bands will do these things too.
I've seen like clips. They're doing a Slipknot cruise coming.
Are they doing
up.
A Slipknot? Now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't done one. I don't know how it would be. Like, you're on a boat, and you're. You know, I love our fans, but you've got to be around them all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to kind of be on at all times. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of time alone where you. So like, if you're there for a week, you got to be on. You got to be ready to give.
That's why you go to your room for like 2 hours just to decompress and speak. Okay, we go.
There wasn't really, like, the only time that we had that wasn't around fans was when we were in the locker room getting ready to do the shows, or we were in our room. Like, other than that, we were trying to eat, fans would come up, and it was like, you want to, like, be interactive with every fan and show them that you appreciate them, because at the end of the day, that's the reason we're here, is because of fans.
Yeah.
But it was overwhelming, though, because one fan would take a picture, and then a line would congregate, and, like, we're so nice. We hate telling anybody no. We hate that. So
in the same way.
We would just tough. Yeah, we would just sit and we would take pictures with all these fans. And sometimes we'd be trying to make it to the other end of the boat for like a scheduled thing we had or something. And so it was a little bit hectic. But I mean, we got to see the Bahamas and ocean. It was beautiful.
How was the food on the cruise? Be honest, Chris isn't here.
No, actually, it was. I liked it. I'm not hard to please. So I don't even know how to fucking like.
They had okay. Look, they had unlimited.
I guess you eat a protein powder and tuna. So
yeah. I have no say in this.
Well, anytime he makes food, I call it Darby casserole.
Nice.
Because it's literally just a pile of like broccoli and Beyond Meat and like maybe some rice, and he stirs it together, throws some hot sauce on it, and it's Darby casserole. So he doesn't really care. Everything's gourmet to him.
Yeah.
But for me, they had unlimited creme brulee, so...
You were into it.
I was very bad on that trip.
I heard they had they didn't have to, but I guess the way that they filmed the AEW that week, they sent the tapes on a helicopter? Is that what... Did you know about that?
Is that what they did?
Dude, I don't know.
I'll have to text somebody else, I guess, and ask them.
It sounds about right, though.
Yeah, I heard some story. I didn't know. I mean,
yeah, I think.
So you don't have internet out there. So
what I heard, what I heard was it was submarine, helicopter, horse.
Shut up.
Horse, huh?
That's what I heard. I don't know.
Well, he was going.
What are you gonna say?
Sorry, we could edit anything later. Now I have to know.
Is this
about the Dark Order?
Yeah, so there's this group called the Dark Order, and they're like these bad guys. And so he was going around saying to everybody, so isn't the Dark Order going to show up on like a pirate ship and like jump on the cruise and like start taking over the boat?
Because they're like the bad guys of AEW, and there's like, they have like different members every week. There's like 20 of them at a time. And I was just like, they weren't on the cruise, but I was like going up to like Cody, I'm like, yo, dude. So I was talking to Tony, and I heard something about the Dark Order coming on like a pirate ship and jumping onto our boat. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? And then I told JR, and JR was like, I can't, like, this is ridiculous. And then I was just...
Did they think it was really going to happen? Or
JR, I think, thought it was for reals. And then, like, Cody sees me, he's like smiling over there, and he's like, this mother... He's making up this shit, spreading all these falsehoods.
You're always having fun like that with the guys on the set. Like, I mean, for me, seeing JR back and a couple other guys that were back in the WCW days when I was watching wrestling and stuff like that.
Yeah,
is it cool working with those guys?
It's crazy because it is like just how much I've connected with them and get along with them. Mm-hmm. Just all these like the old school guys, like on the boat, for example, like. We were like somewhere, it was like 2 a.m, and then Moxley like texted me and he's like, yo, Flair wants to meet you. And I'm just all like, what? And he's like, yeah, Ric Flair wants to meet you. But I got like the text at like 6 a.m. because the Wi-Fi was all messed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, wait, he wants to have breakfast or something? Like, what the hell? And it was like 5 hours ago.
Yeah, he was.
Ric Flair's up all like 24/7. But the thing is.
Limousine ride.
Yeah, like I met up with him later that day and he was just saying like, yo, you're like one of my favorites in AEW.
He's
That's
a wild funny. Man.
Yeah.
You got a good Ric Flair story for me? I haven't met him yet.
No, I just thought it was interesting.
He's just so energetic. Like, he just comes in, he says hello to everybody, he's like, hey, everybody, and he says something funny, and then he leaves. And that's
he leaves
like,
on a high note, Costanza style. Seinfeld fans?
It's interesting when you have guys like that are, like, big fans of you, because, you know, it's just like the old school mentality and what we're doing now, and it's cool that you can kind of check all the boxes, old school wrestlers, new fans, like whatever, it's good.
And Vicky Guerrero was like hyped to meet me, and I'm like, shit, I'm hyped to meet you, like, you know, and it's
so cool
crazy.
They had that connection too, like you were saying, the old and the new and everything like that. It's very
cool. I think a lot, me and JR get along because I'm like, I like to do a lot of storytelling as opposed to just like going out there and doing moves. I like to like.
Yeah, would you consider Jericho a friend of yours now? Is he a mutual friend?
Yeah, I text him.
Yeah.
Quite a while. He's kind of like my go-to guy for, I just show him all like my ideas and stuff like that. My, you know, just
run stuff off of him.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just, I think we got a lot like common with wanting to do all this like videos and just a lot of ideas, like creativity and stuff like that. So.
Okay. It's safe to say you probably met Chris the first time was on AEW when you started wrestling there, right?
Yeah.
Have you met him before the cruise?
So,
or?
Yeah, well, I used to work at this like little restaurant in Atlanta like years ago. And I was just only maybe like a year or two into wrestling, and Jericho just came into my work one day, and we ended up hanging out, me, him, and my coworker, and a couple other friends, and like, so I met him forever ago, and I was just like, hey, like, I'm a wrestler, blah, 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 and, but, I mean, that was years ago, and then, like, you know, fast forward to today, yeah, so, weird place to meet him, but I met him.
Yeah, yeah, he's a nice guy, great dude.
That was at the KFC where you used to work, right?
Shut up, no.
She didn't work at KFC. You got the famous bowl that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Food poisoning. You had the shakes for a week.
This is Chris Jericho getting the shakes from KFC where Priscilla used to work. Okay, this is a great story right here. I'm going to roll with it.
Just a joke. That was a joke.
Are you sure?
A joke.
Are you sure?
A joke, yeah. No, it was a yeah.
Well, that's fun. Who were some of the other guys that you looked up to in the wrestling world that like kind of, you know, where did your fandom of wrestling start?
God, I'd say a lot of
your inspiration, I guess.
There's a lot of people that like were like more than just wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm trying to think of like some really good examples because the thing is like I'm like a fan of wrestling, obviously. But the thing is, God, I feel like a lot more inspiration came from skateboarding. It's weird, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think of, when I think of individuals or something like that, it's weird. Like, musicians, skaters, for some reason, I connect it more to them than, say, a lot of wrestlers way as a kid. So it's hard to say for wrestling. You know, I'm like a fan of people, but I'm talking about, like,
yeah, that wasn't
being like super inspirational. Like,
yeah,
you know, I can't.
Well, who are some of your inspirational skaters that you looked up to then?
Just like, you know, guys like Dustin Dolan and Jeff Raleigh and stuff like that. And, you know, I just liked how insane they were in like on and off the board, just getting the most out of life and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd say like guys like that. But yeah. I am like a big fan of guys like, you know, Jeff Hardy or Rey Mysterio, obviously.
Cool.
Like,
yeah.
they're sick. And I got to wrestle Rey like once.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
You gotta check that out.
Started like raining a little bit before a match. So it was like a slip and slide.
That's gotta be a wild match.
Yeah, it was sketchy.
But you do all the high flying stuff too. So you guys saw Rey's stuff earlier on too when he was younger. He was kind of one of the first ones to kind of do all that.
And yeah.
Pretty cool. You, Priscilla, like what got you into wrestling?
So it actually kind of started with my little brother. Mm-hmm. So my little brother, he was sort of compulsive when he was younger. He would find something and he would just latch onto it, and you know he would just become infatuated with it. So at the time he was obsessed with pirates and Pirates of the Caribbean and Johnny Depp and everybody, and he came across an Undertaker action figure. And
awesome.
He thought it was a pirate.
So, I can see that.
So
a different kind of pirate than
crooked-ass pirate. But,
so he became so obsessed with this action figure. Like, he wouldn't go anywhere without it. He'd throw fits if he didn't have it. So, you know, I just did my research, and for Christmas got him the 20-0 DVD set. And at the time, we didn't have cable, so all we watched was The Undertaker. And me and my brother just kind of fell in love with mainly The Undertaker, but just wrestling as a whole, because on that 20-0 set, you had people like Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and just these incredible athletes, and we were just like, what is it? Because I never was into wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you then around that time?
About 14.
Okay.
Yeah. But my biggest inspiration just in wrestling, like, I just always loved The Undertaker. When he came out and the bell tolled, like, it put chills on you, and everybody mm-hmm. in the crowd would just go silent, and like, you know, just the entrances and the theatrics of everything that he did, and with Paul Bearer and everybody early on, like, it was just so cool to me how just somebody taking a few steps down the ramp can put chills on your body and make you feel so, like, emotional and captivated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always wanted to give fans that experience when I came to the ring. Like, I wanted to get that emotion out of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the guy for me. And then same as Sam, like I took a lot of inspiration from other things too. You know,
as
like,
Darby.
Same as Darby. I'll let you do that. Same as Darby.
That's awesome.
I took a lot of inspiration from movies and music and, you know, I grew up on like so many different genres of music because my mom was into a lot of like electronic music and whatnot. My dad was into like heavy metal and, you know, like my first concert, my dad took me to the Death Magnetic tour, the Metallica
show. Oh, nice.
When I was 11.
My first concert was a Metallica concert as well.
Yeah. So
back when they were on the Load tour, I believe. I think I was 12 years old.
Oh, that was like completely different. Thing. Yeah. Like Death Magnetic was awesome because they had giant coffins drop from the ceiling.
Yeah.
At 11, you're gonna go see that. It's just like, whoa.
That's super cool.
But yeah, so I mean, it, you know, I think we're kind of similar in that way where we liked wrestling, but then like as far as like our persona and who we are and who we wanted to be, it came from all these other things. And
yeah, like that's the thing is like I never wanted to recycle wrestling back into wrestling. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like there's a lot of people like right when they turn like 18 or something. They just go to wrestling school and that's all they kind of know.
Yeah.
Like they're only a fan of like wrestling. And then they like get there and they're like, oh, I want to be like this guy saw from the 80s or 90s. And it just, there's like 100 people like that already.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing.
If someone ever asked me for advice in wrestling, all I say is like, bring something that you're passionate about that isn't wrestling into wrestling.
Yeah.
And it'll just stand out like so much more. And yeah. That's what I'm doing with skateboarding or like, the punk rock stuff that
like,
I love.
Put all your interests in a shaker cup, shake it up, yeah. Pour it in a glass, make it your own.
That is all my interests.
Yeah.
So I'm noticing on your hand here, you got a pretty intricate tattoo. What is that?
I got it last Saturday and it's still kind of like healing. It's just this skeleton hand on my drug free. But I was either going to get this hand tattooed as well with it. Or I was going to do like this whole side because I paint my face
paint
on this side.
On one side, yeah.
I'm on the fence about what I'm going to do next with it.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't even know. But I knew this was like
get the leg too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do the whole half, like
yeah,
everything.
But I'm
one
like,
nut, one testicle. Too.
Yeah.
Damn.
One.
How would you skeletonize that?
Boner.
I don't know. You asked Darby. He came up with a good answer.
No, this sounds
I'm
fun.
Scared.
I don't think she's into it. You probably don't take it that far. Yeah. Don't take it that far.
No tattoo weenie.
So. You have a move called the coffin drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like your big move, finishing move, right?
Yeah.
And then I heard on the Talk is Jericho podcast, you have a skateboard coming out that you've designed and it has a coffin shape to it.
Yeah, me and Steve Hernandez, he works like
the
with
homie.
The homie. He works with Baker Boys, and me and him, we have our own like clothing company. It's just like in this early stages called like Spine Buster. And,
that's a cool name.
Yeah. Like I said, it like, kind of transcends, like you got Thrasher,
mm-hmm.
and it transcends just skateboarding.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, say if it was Kickflip Magazine. And that's what we're trying to do with this. It's like a wrestling move, but it transcends just wrestling.
Yeah.
So we got coffin-shaped skateboards, and Foss, he's the art. He does a lot of art for Heroin Skateboards. And he did a graphic for me. We're going to release them soon through Spine Buster. And it's just coffin-shaped boards. They're crazy. Like, so I'm definitely looking forward
is
to this.
Is the shape more for just because a coffin obviously is cool?
Or you can definitely skate it, though.
Yeah. Is it
They're contoured. Like, okay. they're not just flat. These ones are actually, like, there's a little bit of a tail. There's a little bit of contour on the sides. So.
Does it allow you to try any new tricks or anything?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting when I
can't wait to see some of those videos.
Yeah. So.
It's going to be rad.
Yeah, no, it's nice. We've been filming a new skate video now. Going on these like trips and just trying to get as much like footage. We went to this like sketchy spot in Arizona the other day where you go down this big ditch and there's like two big concrete walls and you gotta go like in between them or else you'll like go like 25 miles per hour right into this brick wall. But
it's That's like not a good idea.
It's really stressful for me to film this video part because I'm wrestling every week.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to like, you know, break myself like I used to.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, like I used to
well,
film.
You're under contract. Too,
yeah,
so
I'm really like used to just like going crazy, like stunts on a skateboard I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff I filmed with like the Tony Hawk's YouTube channel when I dropped it on this big sculpture and like got annihilated from that. Like there's still a side of me that wants to do it.
Yeah.
But it's like so hard.
I could never understand that. I think it's awesome that you get turned on by that, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. I rode a skateboard for like 2 weeks when I was like 12 years old. I fell down a hill. I just got like scratched up a little bit, and I was like, man, I'm over it.
Yeah. No, it's weird, you know. It's something I'm definitely passionate about, but like, yeah. I gotta just be careful on this thing.
And you guys came from like two different backgrounds completely, right? I mean, I heard you were homeless for a while. You mentioned that a little bit too. And what was your upbringing like?
So like, I grew up in like super strict, old school like mentality. Like my parents pulled me out of school super young just to stay home and like clean the house and to learn how to take care of my brother. And you know, I wasn't allowed to date. I wasn't allowed to go out with friends. I grew up very like secluded. And so like as soon as I hit 18 and some things were kind of rough at home, so I just left, and I'd been kind of just on my own since 18.
So it's not that different. I mean, you guys were both on your own from your families at a young age then, yeah?
Not so much with me. Like, right. I'm really close to my parents, but, like, I chose to just, like, because, like, where I was living in Seattle at the time, there was, like, no real, like, chance of making it in wrestling there, because it's like the black hole of like wrestling, like there's just nothing really going on that much. So I would I was like I'm going to be homeless and just try to make it and stuff like that. So it was like definitely by choice for me, and you know, but like her story was way more like, you know, like falling out with her parents and stuff like that.
I was close with my parents growing up. There was like issues with my mom on and off, you know, but there was a lot of drug issues in my household.
Okay.
And
that's probably a lot of why you do the drug-free life too, right? Are you drug-free as well?
I mean, I don't do drugs.
Alcohol.
Well, I drink.
I know technically alcohol is a drug, people. We get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely drink, but I mean, I don't know. I think the big reason why I don't do drugs is because I'm scared of drugs.
Okay.
I'm scared.
It's a good way. It's a good way to think. Just don't try drugs, kids.
Scary stories to tell in the dark. Opens the book. It's like heroin. Oh shit! Close. That's what she is.
But I mean, like, yeah, just like, you know, my parents and I was always cool with my dad in some ways, but like, the thing is, I was always headbutting with my parents because my parents wanted me to be this just little princess and be just the way they wanted me to be, and I said, screw that. Like, I want to do this. I want to be this way. And, you know, just feeling, like, shame for who I was early on. Like, I was into, like, rock and roll. And I told my mom at 6 years old, I was like, Mom, I want to be punk rock. And I didn't even know what that was. But I was like, I want to be that. And my mom was just like, oh, no, like, boys don't like that. You need to, you know, get a tan and, you know, wear pink and wear dresses. And so I really...
weren't into that.
Yeah. When I left home, like... that's when I really felt like I started to find myself, was once I left and I started dressing the way I wanted to. I started getting confidence about myself, like genuine confidence, and you know, developing social skills, because I didn't go to school from not super young, but like, you know. Yeah.
Seventh grade.
I didn't go to school after seventh grade. And,
oh, wow.
I didn't really develop like social skills. I didn't know how to interact with people. And with my roommates, when I first moved out of home, they would like, not understand me at first. They were just like, what's your problem? Like, you don't know how to like talk, like what's wrong with you? And like, I would argue with them because I, you know, there would be times like I just didn't know how to like interact with people.
I'm sure a lot of people feel that way too. And you opening up about that and being in the entertainment industry,
it forces you. Yeah. But just over the years and like I said, gaining that confidence, I slowly learned to like be myself. And I think my social skills developed because I started being more comfortable with who I was as a person. I stopped listening to like these voices in my head from when I was younger telling me like, oh, you as a person's not good enough. You need to be like this. Uh-huh. I started being like, screw that. I'm going to be who I am. And if they don't like it, they don't got to be my friend. And that's where I started
being happy. It's a great way to live.
Yeah.
I developed social skills after drinking. For me,
I mean, that helps. I mean, you know, drinking, you're a lot more talkative.
Yeah, it's like when fans like message you privately. And they're like, can you help me with my problems? And they kind of think that, like, because we're, like, successful, that we have everything figured out.
Yeah.
But in reality, like, we have our own problems that like I don't
Everybody
even.
Everybody does. Yeah.
That's the thing is like when they ask me and I'm like, dude, I'm working on myself right now. I don't even know what the hell's going on. Like, yeah.
I think a lot of people, like, especially in our industry, I think a lot of people like to give off this perception like they're just on top of the world. They've got it all figured out. They're super happy with themselves and their lives. And I think him as well. I think we just try to be honest with people because that's more relatable. Like,
yeah.
If I, you know, people I looked up as when I was young, like music artists or whatever, I didn't want to hear that they were perfect and had a great life. I wanted to hear that they were struggling. I wanted to hear that they had bad days as well as the good days, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just try to be super honest with my fans and be like, guys, there's days that I wake up and I absolutely hate myself. And like, that's okay because you can get through it.
You know, and the fans today, like the out of any industry, really, you could see that everyone's going out of their way to directly connect with their fans more so than ever with all these new technology devices coming out and everything. You're able to DM somebody. Someone DMs you and say, hey, how did you do this? You know, kind of thing, like you were just mentioning.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool. It's kind of why I created this show, to be honest, the podcast where I can kind of just chit-chat and meet some cool people, have some good conversation, and then, you know, hopefully our fans get to hear a little bit of that side of it, you know? And cause for a lot of time, I'm the fucking bass player of a band. No one knows who the fuck I am.
That's what I'm saying about the wrestling. That's why when I got hit up, and I hit you up about the show, I was like, it'd be fun to, like, because everyone kind of sees, like, Wednesday night, Darby Allin.
Yeah.
And then there's like a difference that you can only express through interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm not gonna go Wednesday night on TV and be like, yo, shit fight.
like, what is that?
it's the backyard shit fight with the
oh yeah, that shit fight.
Shit fight. It's like the winner.
We gotta turn that into a hashtag and have it like
hashtag shit. I'll pitch that to Tony.
Yeah, there you go.
Shit fight for the pay per view.
Remember the Inferno matches where the whole apron of the ring was set on fire and they had to wrestle in the center?
Oh,
but instead, the whole apron is just filled with shit and you gotta like try not to get in there.
Or you just do it like the old hog matches they used to have, like in the hog mud, but it'd be hog shit.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty.
Fed the hog corn on the cob the day before.
Jesus. Corn on the cob.
Yeah, so you could see the corn in it. That's interesting.
you gotta have some color so it pops on TV.
Huh? Oh, my producer is reminding me to ask you guys. So you mentioned that you reached out to us to be on the show, and that was through Taylor Williamson, the comedian. How do you guys know him?
I met him through, God. How did I meet him? I'm trying to think of like when I first met him.
Well, I know he's into wrestling. He's done like commentating, like here, not commentating, but he does a lot of interviews with wrestlers and stuff, and
yeah,
kind of does that kind of thing. But I assumed it would be something along those lines, but
I did, yeah.
Maybe he was involved in the shit fight. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Spring 2010. He's in the backyard. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, but I started like talking to him a lot. And he's another, you know, I mean, like, since this whole thing kind of got dumped on, like, the whole TNT thing, and that's the biggest part about this that I've been enjoying is just reaching out and, like, talking to all the other people, like, all different forms of entertainment, you know, mm-hmm. musicians like yourself or comedians like Taylor. And I remember I started talking to him, and then we invited him out to, like, lunch one day, and we were, like, hanging out with him. And I just started telling him all these crazy stories, and I was just like...
I think he was scared.
Yeah, he was scared.
I'm too scared to hear these, but I know the perfect guy who wants to hear all these fucking stories.
Yeah, and he brought it up to me, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, that'd be tight. And I remember he sent you guys an email, be like, yo, Darby would do this. And it was just like another form of your non-generic wrestling podcast interview, whatever that I was like, yeah, I want to do more of those. You know what I mean? So
that's cool.
I just knew that.
Well, we're definitely stoked that you reached out because it's a fun little hang. What do you guys got coming up next for in your life and in your career? What do you guys do for fun? I know you skateboard. And that's like, is that pretty much?
No.
You got some other hobbies you enjoy?
Filmmaking. Once my buddy's done filming this like skate video that he's been working on for, like my buddy Max Yoder, he films for like Thrasher and he does all this stuff. He's been working on this like skate video. They call like the Stratosphere video, and once he's done with that, he's got this whole film crew down there that makes professional like movies, and I'm gonna like I wrote the screenplay already. We're gonna get filming my full-length movie.
Oh, rad.
That I want to enter in like film festivals and like really the nine yards.
What genre is it?
It's like dark comedy.
Dark comedy, okay.
Yeah, it's just about a guy who's terminally ill and he's got 2 months to live. And his best friend was like, all right, like with this last 2 months, like, what do you want to do? You know, do anything for you. He's like, well, to be fair, I kind of want to go on a cross-country road trip to kill my ex-wife. So it just, it's about, so his best friend, he's like, dude,
great.
I don't want to turn you down, but that's fucked up. But yeah. I told you anything, so I guess I had to stick to my word. So it's about them going on a cross-country trip to kill the ex-wife. And she's the ex-wife in the movie.
Nice.
And my my brother is the guy who's terminally ill.
Terminally ill, okay.
And then Uncle John, my Uncle John,
yeah,
is the best friend.
So you kept it all in the family.
And then I got cameos by all my crazy friends.
Is the film a lot of the film or the bulk of it? Is it going to take place like the road trip too? Is that kind of the journey?
Yeah, because they have all these crazy interactions, and like Moxley is gonna make a cameo, and I just want him to run somebody over in a car. And then,
dude, I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Do you do? Will this be your first time acting? You know.
I mean, like in an actual movie.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, my reality show was a lot of like there was a lot of like stage things and scripted bits, but in a real like movie, yes.
Very cool. Do you think that'll spark something more for you? Is that something you'd like to pursue more?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not related, but maybe a little bit. When I was younger, I used to just get gigs just acting in like haunted houses. And ever since then, I was like, I want to be in like horror films and stuff. It's never happened, but if I had to, I would love to be like in horror movies. I want to be Baby from like Devil's Rejects. Like that.
Rad. That's a great pull right there.
But I'm kind of like him. Like, I just, you know, I like to just do everything. Like, I want to get involved in music. Like, I taught myself how to play piano when I was younger, and I'm not the greatest. I taught myself, but I kind of just, you know, I enjoy just playing around with music, playing around with fashion, and then, you know, really, I'm just trying to build my way up and then just give my little brother all these, like, cool experiences, you know, get him to meet
all
his heroes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Her little brother is, like, a big fan of, like, that band Ghostmane.
Okay.
And then, like, I'm like good friends with the bass player, Nolan, and then he like composes my like promo music and all that stuff like that. So they were in Atlanta and we took the brother to the show and he got to hang out backstage.
That's cool.
Yeah, my brother gets in the pits. He goes heavy.
I like that.
He's only 12, but he's a big boy and he gets in with these big other big ass like men and he'll just start air fighting and pushing these big dudes around. He just loves.
He's gonna make a cameo in the movie too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's gonna like judo throw some through a glass table.
Awesome. You're hoping to film this soon, right?
Yeah. Okay. Probably in the next like 3 months after that, once he's done, Max Yoder's done filming this little skate video, we're going to get to work on it.
So. Awesome. Well, yeah, after you do that, you have to come back here and promote that. Let me check it out. Yeah. Let me get the first screen. We do a watch along over here.
Yeah, world premiere on that.
I don't know that. You probably want to do a world premiere at an actual theater.
I don't know. I kind of always liked like weird.
Wait, what?
The pre-workout.
The pre-workout's getting you, man.
No, the weird ass premieres, like, you know, I like them just like in weird places. Like, I've been to like some premieres that they had like a projector under like a bridge, like skate videos. Yeah, it's like sick. It's just like weird stuff, you know? Because that's the thing is like people are like, you want like actors for this movie? I'm like, no, I want like these friends and these characters that I've grown up with, and I just want them to be themselves. And it's not gonna be like script for script. It's kinda be like, tell them what the scene's about, and then they kinda like
let it go. You just get as many takes as you need until you see something
you
like.
Yeah, because like a lot of these people that I know in real life are like comedy gold. Like
yeah.
My friend Kentucky over there, like, you know, just let him be himself, and he's gonna be the mechanic in the movie.
Awesome.
That probably gets ran over by Moxley. So. And then,
I hope he's learning all this right now.
No, he's been my partner in crime forever. And then
we've mentioned these guys a few times. Let's move on here in a second. I think you wanted to come on and play a trivia game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna call it Last Call Trivia Game here on Drinks with Johnny. We're gonna get to play here in just a second, but You tell the people where they can find more Priscilla Kelly, more Darby Allin, social medias, anything like that.
Darby Allin at everything.
At everything.
Yeah, mine's a little bit different. My Instagram is the Priscilla Kelly, and my Twitter is Priscilla Kelly _, and I've got a Facebook, but I don't ever use it, so maybe don't go there. But yeah,
that's not where you get your information from.
Yeah,
Priscilla.
That's where you can see information from like 3 years ago, if you're curious. And then most of all our upcoming events. Well, my, because I do all kinds of random stuff, so all my random stuff will be posted on my Twitter and my Instagram. And
I saw on Instagram you thanked all your fans. You got up to 100,000. Congratulations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hit the 100K. Cool. Right,
that's so crazy. That should be you coming up soon, right?
I'm at 80.1.
He's on the way.
Well, it's not a measurement competition.
I was just telling him the other day how it's like...
I'll be up there soon. Like, yeah. I said, I literally entered AEW almost as like a nobody, mm-hmm. kind of, in a way, even though I've been wrestling for like 5 years now. But like, it's just like, you know, like,
well, that exposure is going to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, yeah.
It's crazy, though, because like I was telling him the other day, it's crazy how like at one time it was like, oh, my, holy shit, I've got 100 followers. That's insane.
Yeah.
And now it's like you get up to these like numbers and it's like, how did this happen? Like, who are these people?
That's
why do they
cool.
like me?
Yeah. Yeah, I like both of you guys' Instagram. That's where I generally look at things too. You guys have cool ways of posting.
Yeah, the days of buying Instagram followers.
Yeah.
When you first like.
Was that a thing? I don't know. I'm a bit older than
I
you
first
guys.
Started,
I just kind of like use it to promote this stuff.
Yeah, when I first started on Instagram, I was like, oh shit, dude. I only had like 60 followers when I first started.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is embarrassing. I want to delete it. But like before I deleted it, I was like, shit, man. Cause I was like, when I was like homeless living in the car, I was like, God, I got like, at the time I had like $100 in my account. I was like, okay, if I spend $50 on followers, I'll have the rest of the $50.
Wait,
like,
did you really buy followers?
Yes.
Oh yeah, doing this in front of a camera is really gonna change that.
Yeah.
I did not do that.
No, I was a desperate man.
Who are these
desperate
people?
Desperate times.
I don't know. I think they're like random, like...
How do you do that?
I don't know. I went to...
What are these accounts?
I think I actually have a sneaky suspicion that my producer did that for me, too. I don't know.
No, but the thing is, like, I like look at the accounts who's following, and it's like... They look like... I don't know, like Bruce Springsteen super fans, and these, like, robot people, and they don't look right.
I don't know what the fuck you just said, man. All right, it's time to play Last Call Trivia Game with Drinks with Johnny. Thanks for checking out this portion of the episode. Stay tuned for the rest. And go to drinkswithjohnny.com for more of this wonderful conversation, wonderful show we're having. Well, it's about to get a little fucking weird, so see you then. Cheers.
And that'll just about do it for this week's episode of Drinks with Johnny with Darby Allin and Priscilla Kelly. Thanks so much to both of those guys for hanging out with me and being on the show. Again, as a reminder, I will be going live with both of them this Tuesday. That's tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. And we're just going to catch up and see how these guys have been doing since the recent times has been going on in the world. And as well as releasing the Hangover edition of this episode, where I played a game with their friends and there was some harsh penalties. It kind of gets a little Jackass style. I'm not going to lie. You're not going to want to miss this. You're going to want to head over to the Drinks with Johnny YouTube channel. I'm not just saying that to send you guys over there, but if you're there, hey, hit the subscribe button. It's going to be a really good time. You're not going to want to miss it as well. I'm going to go ahead and watch it for the first time ever with you guys. I have not seen this since we filmed it. I've left it up to my director, Brandon Lombardo, to put it all together and make it look good. And I'm just, you know, kind of on faith here. I usually make sure everything is, you know, seen and everything like that. And you know what? This time, fuck it. We're going to have a good time together. I'm going to go live with you guys, with Priscilla, with Darby. And we're going to open up a little chat and talk a little bit about this episode and the Hangover episode, which is just bonkers. I don't want to give anything away. I know what happened, but I honestly don't even know how it's going to look on film. So I really hope you guys check it out with me for the very first time, which is going to come right after I go live with these guys. As always, thank you so much for checking out. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane. Check out drinkswithjohnny.com for the archives of everything else that I've been doing here. And as always, till next time, cheers.